are in listen-only mode.
Happy New Year, everyone. Ian here. Thank you for coming online. I hope everyone had a good break. I'm straight into the swing of things, so I'm going pretty hard, pretty quick. And I'm sure everyone had some great breaks and some good times and holidays that went with it all. What I thought I'd do today is Dipna's on a plane, unfortunately. So what I thought I'd do today is just go through what Christine and I do at this time of the year every year, and that is go through your goals and then maybe reset yourself and refind your place. Now, what I'm going to do is, because you've seen this a couple of times, now hopefully you've acted on it. If you haven't, please get onto it. Though what I also will do is the back end of that and how that pertains to property and what you need to do and get your head into place. Now, remember, you are all part of a program that pushes you towards where you want to get your ultimate goal, your ultimate achievement. And if you don't know what that is, well, that's going to be a problem to start with, isn't it? You know, if you ask a one-legged duck to swim straight, it's going to be pretty hard. So what I want to quickly go through is a few things so that you can possibly reset. Now, most of you would have heard me say at some point in time that if I could say to you that you could set your goals properly, you would be 90% of the way of achieving what you want to achieve. And yet so few people actually put their mind towards what that really means. So let's start with this one statement here. I will also say that Mr. Whitwell, I do know that wherever you were today, you couldn't find a size 11 socket. How I know that? Well, no one will ever know. So the starting point of all achievement is desire. Keep this constantly in mind. Weak desire brings weak results, just as a small amount of fire makes a small amount of heat. So what Napoleon Hill is getting to there is that if you can put in a fair amount of work right now and stoke your fire with full of goals that are well set and that are putting you towards where you need to go to, well, in the back end, you're going to have a pretty big fire. All you need to do is load some decent sticks into place right now. So let me show you something that that I saw. This is from Kim Kiyosaki, Robert Kiyosaki's wife. And so many people expect that success is just a simple thing, that you start at the beginning and you end at the end. And it's nothing like that. There is so many things that end up being in a position where, you know, you're going to hit detours, you're going to fail. Majority of learning comes through your failures. I at the moment and spending the next 7 weeks in Sydney going through a masterclass in entrepreneurship, and the person that's teaching the masterclass is a guy who has sold his business for $100 million about 6 or 7 years ago, and since then has been doing social change around the world. Doing what his ultimate game was. That's, you know, his end game was to go out and make some change amongst people and how they think. And one thing for sure is that for him and his partner, they had, you know, before they hit the big one, they had 11 business failures before they hit the $100 million one. And in that one, there was all the learning and necessary steps they had to go towards their success in the future. So one thing for sure is that it's never going to be a straight and easy road. And even when you think you're on the straight and easy road and you've got to your final target, the next one's reset and you go again. So why set goals? It's used by lots of people. You know, they clarify your direction. They help you decide what you really want to achieve. It separates what's important. It assists new decision makers. It helps with the motivation, the procrastination. And it gives you a short-term and long-term vision. So when it comes to the goal setting process, like I said, I'm going to move this through this pretty quickly. When it comes to the goal setting process, a lot of people have seen the SMART process before. So it needs to be specific. The goal needs to be measurable. It needs to be attainable. It needs to be relevant, and it needs to be time bound. If it's missing one of those components, you're going to miss out on your process of what it really means to set those goals. Now, when it comes to goals, incremental steps. Don't go chewing off more than you can chew. Chewing off more than, don't go biting off more than you can chew, because all you're going to do is just choke yourself up. So the important thing that for me especially is that when in those times where the roadblocks are being put up in front of you, that you actually turn around and you have a good look at what's going on. And this picture here is a road, the road to success. And this was done by one of the students after hearing an ex-footballer and myself talk about goal setting. And goals to me are, let's think that you're driving along a road and you're traveling at night time. And at night time, your end goal is that town that you can see, a fair few kilometers away. It might be 20, 30, 40, 100 kilometers away. You can see the glow of the town. You can see the lights in the town. And you might think that the road between here and that town is straight, but you know that along the way, it's not going to be a straight road. Unless you're going along the Nullarbor, it's not a straight road. So you're going to have curves are in places and you've got lots of things to do. And at night time, you've got lights to keep you going, and you've also got guideposts along the side of the road. And those guideposts keep you on track. They're the small incremental steps. So whilst you're going past it, that once you've gone past one guidepost, you're just heading towards the next. Now, guideposts keep you on the road. Guideposts, once they're behind you, they don't do anything for you other than if you look over your shoulder and with the benefit of hindsight, you might have driven past that guidepost a little bit different. So it's one thing that you need to look at. The road to success has guideposts along there. There's curves that are going to hit you. And it's important to make sure that you stayed on the road, Ray. Sometimes you'll come to intersections and you'll change direction. Now, for me, I know that my change in my life came, not lots of changes in my life. The thing that changed the most for me in my recent life was in 2010, the beginning of 2010, when I sat by a estuary on the mid-north coast of New South Wales, and 2 8-year-old kids told me that I was Jenny Craig's biggest challenge. I was carrying lots of weight. And I wasn't happy in many parts of my life. I was comfortable, but not happy. So what Christine and I was definitely sat down and we set goals in all categories of our lives. And the way I looked at it, and everyone has their own beliefs. My belief was that if I was treating my body bad, was probably treating my relationships poorly and my family poorly and my business poorly and all the finances bad, and I wasn't having enough fun. When we finally sat down, we really sat down and we set goals in all different areas. And it's not just a one-off thing. It's not just in your property. You'll normally find that obviously there's lots of areas in your life where you have to pay more attention to than others. There's a whole series of information that says that, if you create too much focus, on your six areas of need, Maslow's six areas of significance, then you might end up in a place where you're actually what they call a little bit over the top. You're too concentrated on one area. So balance yourself out because it's all very important. Now, for some people, goal setting happens in different ways. I've used an example here of setting goal setting up with a mind map in the different areas, where you're going to do, how you're going to do it, and all the rest. Now, mind maps work for some people, don't work for others. One thing I will tell you is to be careful of going too hard too quick, because if you go hard too early, you're going to burn yourself out. So let's just say that tomorrow we decided, actually, let's go back to The Millionaire Weekend, where I spoke about goal setting a little bit. And we now have two people sitting in that audience that have I asked the question. I told everyone I'm doing I've you know we just I just finished the New York Marathon last year, and I said that I believe that anyone, well, within reason, I believe that most people, if they wanted to, could train up and complete a marathon within a 3 to 6 month period from their decision point. So I put that challenge to the crowd and whether anyone was willing to do that. Now, two people put their hands up. Donovan, who's in platinum, and Matt Paddy, who's in platinum as well, put their hand up and said, "Yep, I'm going to have a crack." And I said, "Well, Berlin's where I'm going in September in 2015. Why don't you join me? And I'll run it at your pace. I don't care. I'll be part of the assistance." Now, if Donovan and Matt decided on that day to run the marathon and went out the next day and tried to run it, there is not a chance. There's not a chance that they would complete that marathon in decent time or in good health. So they may finish it, but they may tear themselves to bits. And the end result of doing that is that you would never do another marathon. You'd never want to go through that same amount of pain again. And so essentially, what I'm saying is, build yourself up, pace yourself to the point where you're not going to destroy yourself and absolutely destroy your motivation forever. Remember, everyone wants to replace their income as quick as possible, though if you make the decisions to do that, some decisions may be too hasty without the right training and advice around the people around you. So when I ran a marathon, I made sure I had a coach on board that was teaching me about running style. I had a nutritionist that was on there. Now, that was all paced out. I will say though, once you've done it for the first time, you don't have to train 9 months after that. You know, you don't have to train 3 or 4 or 5 months. It's easier if you do that because you're fit. Now, I will say that the New York Marathon, I hadn't run for 5 months. I had an injury and I trained for 5 weeks and completed the marathon. Was it in my best time? Absolutely not. But did I know that I could run a marathon? Yes, I had run a couple of marathons already. I knew I could start and I knew I could finish. So once you've done it once, you can go again. Now, let's transcribe this to property. Let's make sure that you got your coaches on board. Let's make sure that you've got people like Pacific Law and the Investor Loans Accounting Network going, Investor Accounting Network, and your finance strategist and Investor Loans, all available as a team of advisors to you. And make sure you pace yourself out so that you know that you're starting here and that you're finishing at the end with an income replacement and lots of work to be done in between that. And if you pace yourself with the help of those people around you, you'll get there. It may be painful because there's always property is never a simple deal, okay? There's never a straight road in property, I can tell you that. But at the end of it all, you'll end up in a place where you've been through the process, you've got to the finish line. And if you want to do it again, you're likely to be able to do it quickly. You're likely to be able to pick it up and go whenever you want. And you'd also be able to transfer that into different areas. So instead of doing 42Ks, you might be able to do a half marathon. So in property, instead of doing a 6 lot development, you might do a 3 lot. Or the other way around is more preferable. It's always better to say, well, I can run 10Ks, or I can run 21Ks, now I can run 30Ks, now I can run 42. So when you're setting goals, make sure it's in a positive statement. Saying I'm not going to be sick anymore is not a positive statement. Saying I'm going to be in better health from now on is definitely a positive statement. So make sure you try and do that. Very difficult sometimes to do that, especially depending on the work that you're in. You can automatically be unconsciously bred into that situation. Keep your goals small. Okay, so we know what the end game is, but make sure you break them down. So if they're low-level goals, keep them that way. I think if you're not sure about how to set goals, I'm hoping that I'm coming through loud and clear because I've got no questions at this stage. Keep your goals small. So I always say, set a goal that you absolutely positively know that you're going to have to do and achieve in the next day. And then say, okay, well, I'm going to achieve that. You know I'm going to do it. So it might be as simple as I need to pay the Telstra bill. then you might say, okay, well, let's go out and set something that's a week out. That is probably most achievable, and I'm going to do it. So you might say, well, I have to put my tax return in by the end of next week. Then put something out there a month or two away that says, look, there's a good possibility I'm going to finish that. So let's set that goal as well. So you might say in that case that you're going to save up enough money to be able to book a $5,000 holiday. And then you might go out and, you do a few of those all different places, and then you might throw something right out there, something out there that's so bizarre that not possible, and going down the holiday sort of thing. Let's say that a year from now, I'm going to do a world tour flying first class. And then that way, you've got something to aim at. Now, what we've done there is we've broken down the goals into what's absolutely achievable. Those incremental steps, you can look back and go, hang on, I achieved some goals here. Then you got something that, it's likely to happen. Then you got something that you can work towards. Then you've got something that is so far out there that you don't know how to achieve, but you can try and break it down. Now, you may not be able to break it down, but I can tell you, when you put your stuff out there, you would be very surprised about how things just turn up and turn out. Okay, so be realistic. Now, other than that, write out their goal, be realistic with what you can really achieve. There's only so much time in a day, and I know myself that I'm unrealistic at most of the not most of the time. At times, I am unrealistic about what I can fit into a day. So, be realistic about what that means. So, and ask for some feedback. People around you are going to give you feedback, and definitely strangers will give you feedback. They may not want to hurt your feelings, but they should be giving you good feedback. Awards are an important part. So when it comes to awards, rewards, make sure that you do that appropriately. Now, give it some scale. Just because you did your tax returns next week doesn't mean you should book yourself a world holiday, right? So I've got my tax return in next week. What I'm going to do is I'm going to treat myself and my partner to the movies for the night once they're complete. If you do a big property deal, Jason and Amy are fantastic at this. That one of their property deals, they made a profit, 10% went to charity, and they booked themselves a 6 week holiday in New York. So, you can do stuff like that. Just a couple here. Hi, Ian. In your experience, have you had your best results by sharing your goals with others or just intimate family members? Well, Belinda, I would definitely try and buddy up with someone or a group. If you're in a group, it's difficult to maintain a group, but at least in a group, you're going to have people that are going to drop off. You're going to have people that you align to well, and you've got something to feed back to. You got someone to feed back to and you to them as far as keeping each other accountable for what that really means. So, look, family members are great, and family members can be terribly blunt as well. I like the fact that you can get someone who's on the same path as you and go from there. How can someone really assess what really is a realistic goal? Just let me start again. How can someone really assess what really is a realistic goal? Well, a realistic goal is something that you believe is achievable. Now, in the end, if you believe that in a year from now, having no money in the bank account, that you can book a world holiday around the world first class, and you believe that that's achievable, well, that's realistic. Now, let me put it, let's put it this way. Let's and no one's there to judge. Only you can judge, Samantha, whether it's a realistic goal or not. There's that lady in America who said that she wanted to be a millionaire, but not just a millionaire. She wanted 109 million such and such 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 down to the dollar. She wrote that down on a piece of paper and won the lottery over there almost to the cent. So nothing is unrealistic. Probably those around you will tell you that it's unrealistic. Only you can tell yourself whether it's realistic or not. One thing I do not give myself is a hard time if I don't achieve my goal. I definitely don't smash myself to pieces over it. That's an all or nothing thinking style. Someone says movies, your tax return should be worth more than that, than what you should be, surely. How many entries have you got? When I said that, finishing my tax by next week means that I could go to the movies. Put that into perspective too, because you might get a $10,000 tax return, but spending $10,000 on a tax return for that small little task doesn't have the right scale. So, and on top of that, booking a holiday is not, I'd be reinvesting my $10,000, Mr. Whitwell. Pretty, thank you very much. Tweak and review are very important. It's this time of year where I should be sitting down and looking at what I put down last year. And so for Christine and I, Christmas time, New Year's is where we set our goals and reset them. And that's when we go back and have a look as well. So when we go back and have a look, we go, okay, well, what did we do and what didn't we do? Now, there was one big one in there that we wanted to achieve last year, which we didn't achieve. And effectively, we've had to tweak it because we've changed direction. We're moving in a different way. We're doing a different thing. We've changed the way we're doing that. Okay, well, I'm not rationalizing that. The goal didn't get achieved for certain things that happened that we were in control of and we didn't control well enough. Well, there you go. We've learnt from that. Let's move on. Let's not do that again. Let's make sure it moves in a different direction. Now, with the other ones, yeah, we achieved other ones. We did well in other ones. We did better in some areas. So now's where you've got to sit down, have a look at it, and make the changes that you're in control of. Remember, you're not in control of business sentiment. You're not in control of weather. You're not in control of lots of different things. Make sure that your goals allow you to control it. Just a couple of things here. From Andrea, what I find to be a little tricky is, wow, I'm going to do three chunk deals this year in 2 years, purchase a block of units, reno, and have 10,000 passive income. Okay, so what is it that you find a little tricky there, Andreas? The actual breakdown, Andrea, the breakdown of that, or Andrea, Andrea, the breakdown of that, or because that's just what that is to me is a statement. That's a statement that says this is what I'm going to achieve. Now the goals would be to break those down. So one goal would be three chunk deals. So what's one of the chunk deals? Then I'd be going, okay, well, that's 2 years. So my 2 year plan is to have three blocks of, so 2 years, my plan is to have a block of units, reno, and have a 10,000 passive income. Okay, so how does 10,000, what does 10,000 passive income look like? What sort of debt level has it got? What sort of property has it got? Now, it's not for anyone here. That can come up. That would be like asking a racing car driver to show you the quickest car. Now, there's a whole lot of circumstances that come down to that. Now, just let me, Andrea's come back again. Knowing I can buy, sell, and complete within 1 year three junk deals. Well, that's not going to happen until you do one chunk deal, Andrea, until you do one chunk deal. Now, a chunk deal is a very big, broad statement, because chunk deals could be a chunk deal to sell, could be a chunk deal to keep. Now, I'm telling you, if you're doing a chunk deal to keep, it's going to be a lot quicker because, yeah, well, yes and no. You're going to refinance rather than selling out at the back end. If you're going to do a chunk deal to sell, you've got time where you've got to get the agent on board, then you've got the marketing, and then you've got the settlement period. Whereas if you're going to keep it and revalue it, and it's sitting there at neutral or passive income, then you're off and doing other things. So what you're missing here, Andrea, is the experience of breaking those deals down. Now, how do you get that experience? Well, A, you do it, or B, you ask questions of those people on the website. Now, there's lots of experienced investors on the website that can help you out, and you can work from that. So the breakdown is what you need to do, and so break it down as far as where your situation sits and how you're going to get there. And I'm going to probably run you through that tonight, reasonably quickly. And absolutely, you do have to break down. You have to break it down. There's no use saying my goal is I'm going to run a marathon and then say I'm going to run a marathon in 9 months, right? So that's if that's my only statement, well then I'm in a bit of trouble. So for me to run a marathon in 9 months, that would be my headline goal. I have to break it down into sub goals and then tasks from there. So for a marathon to run that in 9 months, I'd have to have a marathon schedule, a running schedule of what I have to run on a weekly basis, even broke down to the day. So for me, 9 months out from a marathon, I can get up every morning, look at my Excel spreadsheet and go, today I have to run 4 kilometers. Then I've got a rest day tomorrow, and the next day I have to run 5 kilometers, or I have to do cardio one day, or I have to do that. Now, you might think I'm joking, but I actually have 9 months by the day, and I can tell you on what day, where I'll be, and what I'm doing, how many kilometers I'm doing by the month, and all the information that goes out. Then I've got a nutritional plan that breaks down with that marathon. Now, I'm using marathons because that's what I do, okay? Now, for properties, let's look at it. All right, I want to do three chunk deals. So, like Dimpner and I say, three areas, three strategies. So I've decided that I'm going to do renovation and I'm going to do construction, and I'm going to do subdivision, right? So I go and then start looking at the areas that I can afford, webinar number 75, if you're not sure about that, and say, okay, well, I can afford in that area and that area and that area, and I'm only going to concentrate on that area with those three strategies. That gives you 21 different options that you can do. Like you can buy one property and just do a reno. You can buy a property and do a reno and subdivision. Or you can do a property that's a reno, subdivision, and a construction deal in one area. Then you've got another area you can do that in, and another area you can do it. And when you add up the actual possibilities of what you can do there, there's 21 options that you can do. And what does that mean? So what does it look like? Okay, so it's a $300,000 purchase price. And I need $30,000 to the renovation. I need $50,000 to do the subdivision. And then I need to chip in. I can revalue at that point, and then I can chip in another $60,000 to put the 20% deposit down for the construction, and the bank will fund the rest of it. And as far as my timelines are concerned, well, I've got my settlement period, and then I've got my renovation period of 6 weeks. During that 6 weeks, I have to have the surveyor and everything in, and hopefully have that into council. It's going to be in council for 3 months. It's going to come out of council. Then I have to do my building application or building certificate. Then the subdivision has to happen. Then I've got to call the surveyor. Surveyor comes out. I've got 2 or 3 months where, sorry, a month or two where the paperwork gets drawn together. I take that to the ILN guys, who then take it to the bank. They okay it. After the council signed off on it, and then I take it to the Lands Titles office, I release that, construction happens, and the construction takes 2 months to 3 months, and at the end of 3 months, I then get it revalued, or I sell it off and I put it through. All these things are the breakdowns. Now, with all that timeline, you also have money going in and out. You don't want to run out of money. So when you're looking at those three chunk deals, Andrew, you're going to have to break down every one of those deals. Now, for Christine and I, we've got our 12-month planner. We've got a bucket of cash in the bottom right-hand corner, literally a bucket. I draw a bucket and we put some money in it, so the number. So we might have, 500 to 300 or 200,000, whatever your amount is. And then we start to pace out. Well, we know that at the point that I put a deposit down, we're probably in New South Wales, I might need 10%. Well, there's 30 grand that has to come out. Then I've got settlement. Well, I've got to pay for stamp duty. That's got to come out. Then I've got to pay for legals. Then I've got to pay for these bits and pieces. Then I've got 30 grand reno. And I'm watching my bucket of funds go through this deal. And at some point during the deal, if I do a subdivision, I may be able to sell off part of it and my bucket of funds get topped up again. And then I can work through. Now, at the end of that one chunk deal, if there's enough money in the bucket of funds, well, then I might be able to do a second deal at the same time that the first deal is running. So I'm hoping that makes sense, because then that way you can start to break it down, pace it out, and know that it is achievable. At the same token, you might say, well, I have only got money for enough money to do one deal on my own, but I might be able to go off and do a joint venture. I'll go through that in a second. So I know what I want, but I'm too scared to go after it. So negative self-talk is something that will drag you down every time. I say to people when they get to the point where they start negative self-talking, look yourself in the eyes in the mirror and say to yourself, I love you. And it's one of the, if for those people, it's one of the hardest things they'll do. So look yourself square in the eyes, look yourself in the mirror and say good things about yourself. And write good things and put post-it notes all over your mirror. Really important to make sure that you look after yourself and that you actually love yourself, because that's what's going to make a big difference. Time management is a big issue. Some people love to fill time with just dawdling. Other people are good. Do a time tracker if you're not sure. Break down the whole day into 15-minute intervals and write down every 15 minutes what you do, and you'll be surprised about where you spend your time. For us, Christine and I, we threw the TV away about 4 years ago, and you know, it made such a difference to us. All of a sudden, had a huge amount of time to go and do other stuff. Now, I filled that time, and you know, sometimes I go, geez, I need more time here or there. Then I start looking at, well, where do I spend my time? So if I get on to TED Talks and I listen to TED Talks all the time, well, then I might have to say, look, maybe I need to cut down to one TED Talk a day or one every week, whatever it is for you. Just going back to Andrea, she's saying the timeline is a little vague. I'm in a unit ready to reno and sell. When ready, I'm on the market sell. We'll settle within 60 to 90 days. Cash up and setting achievable goals once a year. When I say to myself, I can do 3 chunk deals, but realistically, possibly only 2. Well, again, it depends what you're willing to put into it. You know, for some people, they may only be able to do 1 deal in that time with their own money. But remember, at the same time, you could be doing a joint venture. So you could be the working partner for someone else. So that's a chunk deal in itself. Just something here from Michael. It's a long statement, I think. I'd like to thank Dimpner and yourself, Michelle, and all that were at the Millionaire Makeover, so Melissa as well. So Michael, we put Michael under the pump there, and we smashed him with a couple of different questions. This was a watershed weekend for both I and Terry Ann, but significantly I saw Terry as she has come back more focused, and I see that we are both attuned to each other. Fantastic. That's why doing this as couples is fantastic. Our family vision board is 60% complete. Peg and the sand are both rewritten, and we're going to keep each other accountable for all our personal goals. And I will say, Michael, very difficult in a relationship to keep yourself accountable, because it can tend in arguments. So set yourself a guideline of how you're going to do this accountability, because it's always a good thing. You know, there's been times where Christine and I have been, you know, at each other because we've done it incorrectly. We do it correctly now. The health part of the weekend by you, thank you. And Cindy, was my biggest change to me. I've lost 2 kilos off 71. Fantastic. But you changed the way you eat. That's fantastic, Michael. Terry has Melissa in her ear every night and has the biggest inspiration from the weekend. This will be our year of moving forward, and small goals is to be on stage and show one of our deals to you. Fantastic, right? I love it. So I'm looking forward to Michael. Knowing that we've worked with you, I'm really looking forward to it. Is there something that I do daily? Is another question. Is there something that I do daily to keep focus? Absolutely. So if you get onto the App Store, you can download Dimpner's, one of Dimpner's students, Jason, designed an app called the 7 Dailies Rituals. So if you get into the App Store and just put in Dimpner, I'm not sure it's available for... what do you call those other things? It's available for Apple, but it's not available for Androids, I don't think, not yet. Once there's a few subscriptions, they may take it across to Android. Linda Tran is saying that she loves the daily rituals. So now Dimpner says to her Platinums, I want you to do them every week. I did them every day, doing them for 3 years every day. And what that does, the 7 daily rituals, keeps you on track. Where am I not focused, okay? So the 7 daily rituals is about saying the day before, what did I do to improve myself in the spirituality area? Now, I chose spirituality on purpose, because some people think spirituality is about, you know, yoga and meditation and all of that. To me and to Dimpner, spirituality is how did you help someone else yesterday? Either be yourself or it be someone else. So I, you know, for me, I went to Bunnings. I was getting something. I went down the plumbing aisle and I helped someone choose the correct tapware for their house, right? That might be as simple as that. So then those areas are keeping you on track. There are heaps and heaps of apps and websites that keep you focused on goals. What I found is I've tried a lot of them, okay? I've tried heaps of them because everyone falls off the wagon, right? Don't think for one second that there's one person out there that sets goals and keeps to them and is on top of them for the rest of their life. That just doesn't happen, right? So I have not found one that suits me personally, right? So you've got daily tracker, my goal setting. There's heaps of them out there. Ready, set, goal. There's all of those out there where you can give yourself alerts and do all the stuff. But look, find a way that suits you. Only you can give yourself 100% honesty, right? So if you're looking for time and you decide not to give yourself the time, it's only you to blame. And you have to be 100% honest with yourself. So the opportunity cost analysis when it comes to time is, where do I spend my time best so that I can achieve the most? Always go back to the 80-20 rule, okay? Now, what tasks will take 20% of my time and give me an 80% result? Unfortunately, the 20% tasks are usually those crappy tasks you hate doing, right? Now, does that mean I need to spend time to get someone else to do them for me? Because those small tasks make an 80% change. So many people delve into the 80% of the task that they have to do and spend all this time doing it for a 20% result. And if you don't believe me, write down all the things that you have to do and then seriously give yourself 100% honesty and say, you know what? If I did the tax return by next week, that would mean that I could lodge it. That would mean that I could go into the bank, go to the ILN guys and the strategists, and I could get something. And then the outcome of that would I would be able to buy a property. But instead, people want to go through, oh, well, I need to resort my sock drawer. I need to clean the inside of my garden hose. I know that the tool shed needs to be cleaned up. That won't make a difference to any part of your life except making you feel better because it looks better. The results come from choosing those things that will make bigger changes. Why do you want it? What is the end game? The end game here is, for most people, the end game is no longer having to work. I'm not saying you won't work. No longer having to work for an income so that you can make change somewhere else, so that you can help your family, so that you can donate to charity, so that you can give up time. Now, for me, I do like to help out. I do like to do some volunteer work around. I do that while I'm running marathons. I like to do some mentoring with them. I also like to, unfortunately, I've had to cancel it, but I've got two pumps sitting downstairs that I was going to install in PNG over a 2 week period and train people up on how to service them. Hand pumps they are to supply the township. Now, I've had to cancel that. But what I have done is I'm now making handles for them. I'm now training up someone from Australia to go over there to teach them. Now that my end game was to be able to do that. I'll let you all out in a little secret here. My end game that I've decided for this year that I want to achieve sometime in the future is that I want to put a dent in Tall Poppy Australia. I want Australians to stop knocking people off the top of their perch. I want Australians to say, I can't believe what you're doing there. I think that's fantastic. Can you please show me how to do that? That's what I'd like. Anyway, it's already in this community, so hopefully we can push it out there. What's your perception? Because if you don't think you can do it, then you're not going to be able to do it. So going back to that question, that statement, Samantha, about whether who can judge whether something's a realistic goal or not? Only you can. So if you think you can achieve it, that's a realistic goal. If you don't think you can achieve it, I can guarantee you'll be right. You won't achieve it. So thanks for everyone's support on that one. It's Very nice. And thanks, everyone. That's nice. Now you have to put a vision together. Now I'm about to show you something amazing here, right? This was one of the platinums that put this together for a bit of fun. And so there you've got 50 Shades of Ian, a plumber's erotic adventure on screwing the ball cock. You've got to put it out there. Now, whether you do it like this in some sort of vision, whether you draw it, last year's vision board I actually drew. I normally use technology, but I actually drew it last year, and I've noticed that my vision boards have changed over time, on the change that's been happening in our lives. So when I first started, obviously my vision board was about the three chunk deals, about making sure that it happened. As I've gone further on, I'm now looking at the social change. I'm now looking at how can I affect others. Yes, there's still some property stuff that I put in there, but the way I look at things has changed as well. Now you might want to do it electronically, and unfortunately, I'm not sure if it's still going or not, because they were working on it. I'll just let me check quickly whether it's working. But Oprah's dream board was down recently, so I'm not sure if it's working yet. But it doesn't matter, regardless of whether it's working or not. It could be, maybe not. Regardless of if you just Google vision boards, there is a number of different sites available now that will help you put together vision boards that are either electronic. Now, it doesn't stop you from going out and cutting up some magazines and sticking some pictures around the place and breaking them down. And they're for you. That's for you to look at it and, put it on as a screensaver. Put it on your computer as a screensaver, put it on your phone as a screensaver, put it up in your bedroom, put it in your bathroom, put it everywhere that reminds you of what you're trying to achieve. Now your unconscious mind is playing games in the background and going, hang on, they must be really serious here. They are, wanting to do that property deal. Well, I better put my reticular activated system out there to look for that sale or property deal, because it's obviously clear that they want it. So your knowledge and skills of what you've learned through DIMNA and through I is sitting there above the surface. It's a such a small amount of what's really going on. Your head is absolutely working in the background. Your whole body is working in the background doing things. So really amazing to do there. So let me just go through a couple of the questions here. Need help, can't find the app DIMNA or Seven Daily Rituals. Is there any other name for it? So just let me do a search while I continue to talk. Cherie Brown says, highly recommend. What I Know for Sure, Oprah Winfrey. So What I Know for Sure by Oprah Winfrey. It's a book. Pankaj says, I use Control Alt Delete method to overpower negative thoughts. Means control your thoughts. Alternate your thoughts which are not working, delete the negative one. So you might, if you've ever heard Melissa Scott speak, you will see that you'll hear her talking and she'll go, oh, cancel, delete. So she might say something and it will come up that it's negative and she doesn't want to think about that. So she'll say, oh, cancel, delete. Gosh, let me get back to this. I'm just still looking. I'm not sure if anyone else has found it. Dimpnet Boholt. I know that my phone can't find it at the moment, so we'll have to do a check on that one. And so you've done Seven Daily Rituals as well, obviously, and it's not come up. One second. No, okay, we'll have to get onto that one. But definitely it was there recently. What it looks like is, let me do a search. Sorry, I've got a couple of boxes here. Seven Daily. P PPT, so I know where it is. Actually, let me find it. So I'm just pulling this up so that you can see what it looks like, and you know what it's going to look like as a front cover at least. Just working my way through stuff. Okay. So just getting there. 1 second. Sorry, guys. Oh, maybe I don't have it. There you go. Oh, it's not in that one there. I know where it is. 1 second. Coming back. Oh, it's the one that she won't put in the books. Of course it is. Anyway, you'll see it. It's pretty simple. It says the seven daily rituals and you go through it. So type in Dimpna Boholt's daily rituals. So let me try that. Dimpna. Should have come up with Dimpna. Oh, there it is. Dimpna Boholt's daily rituals. So it is there. And download it on iPhone 6. And it's on, and I Love Real Estate on podcast as well. Yep. Okay. So it is available. It is there. All right. Beautiful. Let me get rid of these questions. All right. So let's go on. I'm going to quickly go through this, right? Because we've talked about goals. Now, in your unconscious level, no, it's not on Android. Sorry. On your unconscious level, you've got beliefs. There's stuff going on under there. There's stuff that you need to possibly bring to the surface and change. Now, you may not know that. Remember that you 80% of your makeup was put into your head by the age of six. What you bring from that point forward is a six-year-old. So you actually are a six-year-old in an adult's body. 20% of that is where it goes, is what you have made since the age of six. So you have to really challenge sometimes your thought processes. Oh, I could go on how people think and how I think that they think differently. But to me, to them, it could be the opposite for me as well. What sort of family did you grow up in? Did you grow up in a wealthy family or did you grow up in a poor family? So if you grew up in a poor family, then it's quite likely that you've got some beliefs around money that says that it's not going to be there, that it's hard to get, that you're going to work hard for it. If you come from a wealthy family, well, you might say, well, money's easy to come by. Now, sometimes that's a detriment because it could mean that you think it just turns up and you could make some financial decisions that aren't good for you. So you really need to challenge your thoughts around on your unconscious level. And sometimes you don't know that that's there until it comes up. That's the unfortunate part of that. So Marie's saying that you can't find it on the iPad. It should be there, regardless of whether it's iPad. I've got it on my iPad, so it should be on your iPad. It depends, whether it's an Android or not. All right, well, let's look at now the goals as far as your business plan in action and some of the questions that you need to ask yourself when it comes to the business plan of what you're going to do for yourself in the next year. So the business plan in action is about breaking it down so that you and only you can answer these questions. So let's have a look at it. Success is learning to ask really good questions. So some of the questions you may need to ask is, what is a timeline for a construction deal? What does it really mean? So if a subdivision construction deal, I've never done one before, well, what do I need to do? You need to ask questions. Now that may be I need to ask another person in the network here in the community, how long does it take to do that? I need to put a post up onto Ultimate. Or do I need to go and talk to a surveyor? Do I need to talk to my town planner? How long does that really break down to? What does that really mean? So that's where you've got to look at it. Just let me get this, because what I might do is someone has I'm just about to send out. So for most of you, what there's a chat, there is a chat button on your control panel, and what I'll do is someone who's done it. Lindy has just sent in the iTunes link for the 7 Daily Rituals, and I've just sent it to you all. So if you have a look in your chat box, you've got it. If you're So need to search iPhone only. Yeah. So on your iPad, if you're looking for the search, do it in iPhone only mode. Okay. So search iPhone only. Okay. So getting back to the business plan in action. So you need to ask questions. You need to find out how and where you're going to achieve these goals, and that means asking a number of different people. You know. So like I said, that recommendation there was talk to a town planner. Talk to them about timelines. Then you might need to talk to some of the civil construction guys, and you might need to talk to a builder. You might need to talk to your uncle. You might need to talk to lots of people, but ask the questions, because if you don't ask, you're not going to get an answer, right? So set your goals. So for me, when it comes to goal setting, this is what I do. We have a 5-year goal set in place, broken down to 1, 2, and sometimes 3 years. Okay? So we've always got 5 years ahead of us, and then we've got 1, 2, or 3 years ahead of us. I like to break down the next year into 12 separate months. Okay, so the next year is broken down into months. So then, in the next, in the 3 months ahead of me, I then break it down to the week. And at the end of every month, I then reset again. So let me let so that you understand this. I have 5 years goals ahead of me. In the next 12 weeks, so the next 3 months, I've got goals set by the week. And I then have goals set by the month for the rest of the year. And at the end of my month that I have my, so I've got 4 weeks. At the end of 4 weeks, I'm now gone from 12 weeks down to 8 weeks of goals ahead of me. And then I reset to get back up to 12 weeks. So there's never less than 8 weeks ahead of you, so that you can really break that down. Now, you might say that's a pain in the ass. Absolutely, it is. And it's a tough thing to go back to and make sure you reset every month and make sure you don't fall off the wagon and all the rest of it. Though, if you do that, I can guarantee you that absolutely, Linda, it is so worth it. So, where's your starting point? Are you starting from scratch? What strategy will you, or strategies will you use to achieve your goals? So, three strategies. What are the numbers around that? And can you put that into a timeline? These are the questions you need to ask yourself. Do you need to do a joint venture? How will you put yourself out there? You know, how are you going to make yourself the person that everyone else wants to do a joint venture with? Do you have a business plan to attract partners? You know, what's your plan to attract partners? Are you going to find a deal and then stick it out there to see who's going to want to do it? Or are you going to go out there and actually find business partners that suit the deals that you want to do, and then go and find the deal? Now, I can tell you the second method is a lot easier and better as far as timelines are concerned. Do you have a CV, business cards, or flyer? You know, for Christine and I, when we first left, when I first left work, we put together a CV of all the property deals we had done, and lots of photos, lots of information, so that when someone wanted to talk to us. Lots when someone wanted to talk to us, they could see what we did. So do you have an existing portfolio? What are the numbers of that portfolio? Have you tracked that? Are there any trophies in there? Is there properties in there that are just nothing properties? They're doing nothing for you. Have you had a strategy meeting with Investor Loans Network strategists so that you can borrow more money? You know, what is that all about? What does your current portfolio look like if you have one? What's possible to achieve in this portfolio? What can you do with it? Can you increase its yield? Is it up to market rent? Can you manufacture growth out of the property? Can you do a subdivision? Can you add a granny flat on the back? Are you cross-securitized? Do you need to unravel what your whole setup is? In the portfolio, if you've got trophies in there, generally the trophies need to be sold. So do you need to sell them? Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. This may take time, but it needs to be done, and don't procrastinate. Set them and stick them, set them into a timeline and stick to them. Make sure that you're getting them done. Are you market ready? So many students go out there, they find a property deal, and it's just a rush. Everyone's running around trying to get the structure set up and everything. So have you set your company and trust up? Are you ready to actually purchase? Have you got the ILN guy saying, yeah, you can borrow $300,000. You can. Do you have the available funds sitting there ready to go? And don't sign contracts unless you've got something up. Pick your names that are sustainable, adaptable. So when I say pick names that are sustainable, adaptable, pick a theme when you're naming your trusts, okay? So company and trusts. So you know, for us, we started with the letters, the first letters of our children. And that's why we kept on having more children, so we could do more companies and trusts. Only kidding. We found though in the end it was a bit cumbersome because you know you had the SKM Proprietary Limited for the SKM Trust, and then we had the MKS Trust, and then we had all these other letters. It was all just too hard, so we changed what we were doing. So no kids, no, not possible anymore, Michael. So pick a name and that's sustainable, adaptable, that can grow and that can work with it. Because we want you to have heaps of them, and we want to make sure that you've got lots of choice. Market ready. What's your starting capital? What have you got? What deals can you do with this capital? And make sure you have enough capacity for your strategy. And can you do two deals at the same time? Now, in the strategy, what towns fit your strategy? Remember the three towns. Now, you might decide that you want to go to mining. Now, that's high risk. So, are you remember that part of the strategy is that if you're going to go high risk, what type of person are you? That's something you need to look at. So I classify it quite quickly. If you would have a property in a metropolitan city and it was empty for 3 weeks and that made you anxious, do not go to high risk. That's not for you. You could be doing chunk deals near your household, or you may need to push your comfort zone a little and go out a bit further. In your research, you have the strategy and you have the area. Create a checklist of the properties that you really want, what you need. Go on a tour and check it out. Start creating a short list of what those properties are and what they look like. Now, with the planning schemes, what is it in every? So remember, we've got 540 odd council areas across the country, and you're not going to be able to read every one of them. But because you've picked three areas, you can start becoming an expert in those areas around what the planning scheme is. What the council would like to see. Remember, every council has a strategic direction officer. A strategic direction officer is put in place so that they can say the council, their direction, what they want is their vision is in the next 10, 15 years, this is what they want. So if you talk to that person, you can then go out and say, okay, well, the planning scheme says that in that area, they want more townhouses. And in the next 10 years, that's what they want to do. So let's put what they want in there. Now you need to start talking to the private town planners and surveyors and the tradies in the area. That's what will help you start getting more focused. Tracking. Track your research in areas. Do it on a notepad, do it electronically, do it on papyrus where it doesn't really matter, right? But make sure that you're tracking what that means because you may do three areas, you go off and you're going to start to think of what area said that they could put townhouses in there and what area said that they wanted more subdivision or what area said they didn't want any subdivision. So make sure that you put it down so that you can go back to it. Create some HUD subheadings and track all your correspondence. Now, if that means that you track your correspondence by setting up different emailing addresses, well, that's fine. However you want to do it. Just a question here. Hi, and what is the method of getting your existing properties valued to see if their value has risen? How often would you do this? Well, you know, that'll depend on what's happening in the market. You could probably go around and say, well, that house down the road sold for this much, and comparably, I reckon my house is better than that one, so, and that's an increase, so I should go. So when you talk to the investor loan strategist guys, they will, and girls, they will say to you, well, the available banks we've got to choose from for a refinance is the one that you're currently with, and this one and that one. And they can order a valuation. So they'll order a valuation, the value will go out there. Now, I would say this is what Dibner and I do. We make sure that we're the point of contact for the valuation. We also put a report together for the valuer so that when the valuer goes out there to meet to look at the property, we meet them, no one else, because we can sell our property. Well, when I say sell, we can talk about our property much better than anyone else. We've got information in our report that says, this is the renovation we did. This is how we did it. This is where it started. This is all the different things that have changed. These are the comparable sales down the road, and they are, they are at this much. And we believe, clearly says, we believe that that our property valuate our property price, our property is worth such and such. Now, always make sure that's more than what you think it's worth, because they're going to knock that down. You hand it to them and you say, look, I know how busy, this is what I always say. I know how busy the valuers are because you just get thrown from job to job to job. What I did was just put this together for you so that you can see that there are other comparables around, and I know that you have to go back to your office and check it. I just thought that it would be handy for you to have it as well in this format. And that's why you're not trying to do their job for them. You're just being nice about it. Okay. Make friends with agents. If I could say to you, I get lots of people going, where do you find your deals? Is Investa the best place to find them? Is it on realestate.com? Is it, the best places we find deals is through the agents because they call me first, right? Now, when I say they call me first, I've got agents that are friends now, right? I've built rapport with them. I know about their lives. I know how many kids they've got. I know what they do on weekends, all that sort of stuff. They know that I'm an investor. They know what I do. Now, that's taken a long time to get to that point, but it gets to the point where they ring you first and say, look, there's a deal coming on the market next week. I've just signed it up. Are you interested in it? And I normally say, yeah, look, actually, send the details to me. I'll have a quick look at it. I'll look at it. I'll give it 5 minutes' time. I'll look at it and go back to them and say, look, it's not for me, this one, because there's probably not enough in it, or I've got my money tied up. But please continue to bring me stuff because I'm in it. Now, am I the only person they've called? Absolutely not. They've called 20 other people that are on their mailing list as well, because all they want to do is get in and out of a deal as quick as possible. That's how they get. So the third level questions. Third level questions are things about their kids. Their third level questions are about, what they do on weekends, things that don't relate to the actual big white elephant of property, right? So when you're asking the extra questions about their life, because you're building a friendship, right? Jared says, best deals we've done, we bought straight from the agent two in a row. That so before it's even been advertised, right? Audio is not happening. Okay. Hopefully it'll kick back in April. I think everyone else is getting it. Okay. Create the relationship with the agent. Let them know that you're an experienced investor, and try and get off market deals in hot markets, especially in hot markets. Do the numbers. Run through a FISO on a short list. Now, one of the biggest things I see as far as students are concerned and the mistakes that they make is that they don't go through a deal. They don't get to the back end of a deal because, oh, this one's not going to be a deal. I want you, regardless of whether someone got in and bought it under your nose, I want you to go through some feasibilities. Until you know how to get from one point to the end, you are never going to buy anything. So run through a feasibility, go through the short list and go, okay, that deal there, bang, 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 bang. These are the numbers that go with it. And get to the point. Go through the negotiation process. Even if you're not going to buy it, go through the process so you know what it's going to be like when you get to that point. Stop sitting back and waiting for the perfect deal to come along, because it's not going to happen. You're going to have to get experience in different ways, so put yourself out there. Put in your offers. Now, remember, you have time in other areas other than New South Wales. You can put a foot on the deal and sign contracts as long as you've got your legal people looking at it afterwards, beforehand, sorry. Make sure your legals look at it beforehand. In the rest of the country, you can sign a contract and put time periods with the right conditions in. In New South Wales, it's slightly different. Now, this works in two ways, right? In New South Wales, people go to other states and want to do all their due diligence and miss out on the deal. Now, and you wonder why, and that's because your laws are different in New South Wales. Now, the opposite can happen. If you're from other states and you come to New South Wales and you sign a contract and you think that you can pull out of it, you might find out that you can't. So be very, very careful. That's where the legal guy's coming, okay? Make sure you get the conditions in that you want. Make sure you use a solicitor because solicitors are trained, especially a property law solicitor. Get the contract signed after the solicitor's looked at it and make sure you get the finance started again. Then at the back end of that, you have to reassess. Did you get the outcome from the deal? Is that what you wanted to do? Okay, so we've done the deal now. Did it fit in with your goals? Was it the right thing for you? What is the learning out of it? And are you ready to go again? Now, remember, when it comes to deals, everyone wants just to go off and do the positive cash flow deals, or they just want to chunk out for their life. Remember this rule, okay? The rule is, at the end of the deal that I'm about to buy, can I buy another one, okay? So at the end of the deal that I'm about to buy, can I buy another deal? And if the answer is no, because you've paced your timeline out and you've watched your bucket and you filled your bucket back up and it's not enough, then you've chosen the wrong deal and you put yourself in a corner. One of the most important things that I had learned from Dipner is exactly that, making sure that you can buy the next deal. Because if you cannot get into the next deal, you're going to have to be creative with no money down deals or doing a joint venture in some way. And you are, and I will say it, I'll say it quite plainly, you are better off doing deals on your own than doing it in joint ventures. Now, joint ventures is a win-win situation. If you can do deals on yourself, concentrate on yourself. If you then got spare capacity and time, go off and do it with joint venture partners. Or if you're inexperienced and you don't know how to do it and you think that you can't learn it, which I believe that you can, then obviously go off with an experienced person. So that's my start of the year. I'm hoping that, you know, there's a fair few people online. I'm hoping that made sense to a lot of you, that, you know, kick in, get uncomfortable. Just remember that if you can start putting a couple little pieces of twigs on the fire and getting bigger pieces on top of that, you're going to get huge of heat coming off that. So remember that the next webinar is in 2 weeks' time. It's a Q&A webinar. You can send your questions to questions@realestatesuccess.com.au. That's questions@realestatesuccess.com.au. There won't be a copy of these slides. This webinar will be put up onto the website, and you can rewatch it at any time in the future. So here's to everyone. Is it on Australia Day? Really? Damn. That's my wedding anniversary. That's going to be a problem, isn't it? All right, we may what we might do is make sure everyone online puts in lots of questions into questions@realestatesuccess.com.au. That's questions@realestatesuccess.com.au. And what I might do is a pre-record on that webinar and put it up so that I don't have to be available on that night, and that way my wife won't divorce me. So, here's to a fantastic 2015, everyone. Stay on board, keep on track, stop procrastinating, set your goals, and everyone's going to achieve some amazing things. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.